Blog Talk Radio.
But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R. D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. So at this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. My Heavenly Father, as we enter into this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace and mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job. Anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. And when we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it brings faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And, oh, Lord, when we leave this sanctuary, give us traveling mercy. Bless our families and home to be in order as we left it. Lord, we thank you for everything you have done, everything you're doing, and everything you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen.
Follow God and obey his commands. He is our only hope for eternal life and security. Let us pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the valley, through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
You'll make everything all right. Oh, yes. Mama, mama. All you gotta do is hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. No, 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 no. You just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Don't let Jesus go. Hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Strong and mighty he will show. Yes, indeed. All you gotta do is hold on to Jesus.
Hold on,
yeah,
to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes,
to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh, yes,
hold
he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa.
Everything belongs to God, the glorious eternal King. Let us worship him and welcome his glorious reign. Praise be to God, let us pray. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the sea and built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. Open up ancient gates. Open up ancient doors and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invincible in battle. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Heaven's armies. He is the King of Glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
yet I have said the Lord always before me. I bless your name. Your name. Come on, let's take it higher.
I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
I'll die in you.
For I have said the Lord always before me. Because you are on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name.
Entitled Keep Trusting, and the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 50:15, and it says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I shall rescue you and you will honor me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Praise God. The writer says, when things are going your way, trusting the Lord is easy. But when painful trials come into your life, leaving you frustrated, confused, anxious, or in despair, do you still trust him? In the face of adversity, many people wonder, does God really love me? And they conclude that a truly caring father would not allow such difficulties to touch their lives. Often, they question whether he is even willing to do anything about their circumstances. But today, be assured that your Savior is not only able but also willing to fulfill every single promise he's given you in Scripture. Hallelujah. Even when you cannot understand why he would allow certain situations to occur, there are three essential truths that you can cling to no matter what. Number one, God is perfect in his love for you. Number two, the Lord is infinite in his wisdom. And number three, your heavenly Father is all powerful, completely able to accomplish all that concerns you. So when you face struggles, always remind yourself that Jesus has your best interests in mind. No matter what happens, your unconditionally loving, all-wise, all-powerful God has you in his hand and will work all things together for your good as you walk with him. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. All you have to do is just keep on trusting him and believe that he is able. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, I know you will rescue me. Thank you that I can trust you regardless of my circumstances. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And that concludes our devotional message. At this time, I will play another selection. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word this evening. Amen. To God be the glory.
Played it a million times, but still it escapes my mind. The grace you've shown towards me, I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Wrong seems to follow me. I still can't believe how you never let me go. How you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me. I am missing.
a prayer for defense, guidance, and pardon. As we trust in God, He wants these same requests for us. O Lord, I give my life to You. I trust in You, my God. Do not let me be disgraced, or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in You will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by Your truth and teach me. For You are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in You. Remember, O Lord, Your compassion and unfailing love, which You have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of Your unfailing love, for You are merciful, O Lord. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them His way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep His covenant and obey His demands. May the praise be to God. In Jesus' name.
We worship You this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been You, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, You're the Jesus be the center, say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been You.
Jesus be the center. center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
And kind. Thank you for leading me to green pastures and making me lie down there. You know where I will thrive, and you guide me there. You find a place of deepest rest and open up the door for me. Thank you for constantly looking out for my well-being, even when I'm not doing so myself. Thank you for thinking of me, thinking for me, when I fail to think for myself. I have seen your hand of intervention throughout my life, closing doors that would have been harmful to me if I had gone through them. Thank you for being my shepherd, who knows what's best and leads me in that direction. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Never too late. Your face.
Jehovah Rohi, with all the confusions ahead of me, I need you to guide me on the right path. I can't always see which way to go and what decisions to make. I need you to be my shepherd and show me the way. Will you help me learn how to listen to you even better than I do? Will you tune my heart and mind to your voice so I will more easily follow you, just as a trusting lamb follows its shepherd? Help me make decisions that honor you and bring you glory. Without you as my shepherd, I would surely wander and eventually get lost. Guide me with your hand and show me your loving care as you shepherd me through life's path. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will play a selection, and then we will go into the Word.
I wanna be more than an ordinary servant. I wanna be more.
Praise be to God. Holy is your name. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke. Amen. That's in the middle of your Bible, a little bit less than the middle. And that's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And when you get to chapter 22, we are going to read verses 31 through 43, and then we're going to go down to 54 through 62. Amen? That's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 through 43 and 54 through 62. And I am reading from the New Living Translation. Let us begin. And this is Jesus speaking. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die for you, with you, excuse me. 34. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you out to preach the good news, and you did not have money, a traveler's bag, or an extra pair of sandals, did you need anything? No, they replied. 31 to 43, praise. No, they replied. But now he said, take your money and a traveler's bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. For the time has come for this prophecy about me to be fulfilled. He was counted among the rebels. Yes, everything written about me by the prophets will come true. Look, Lord, they replied, we have two swords among us. That's enough, he said. Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Amen. Now let's go over to 54 through 62. And it says, so they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, "This man was one of Jesus' followers." But Peter denied it. "Woman," he said, "I don't even know him." After a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." "No, man, I'm not," Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them because he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Praise be to God. Peter wept bitterly, not only because he realized that he had denied his Lord, the Messiah, but also because he had turned away from a very dear friend, like so many of us do today. A person who had loved and taught him for 3 years. Peter had said that he would never deny Christ, despite Jesus' prediction. But when frightened, he went against all he had boldly promised, unable to stand up for his Lord for even 12 hours. He had failed as a disciple, as a friend. We need to be aware of our own breaking point and not becoming overconfident or self-sufficient. If we failed him, we must remember that Christ can use those who recognize their failure. From this humiliating experience, Peter learned much that would help him later when he assumed leadership of the young church. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Loving Father, we are thankful for every blessing of life. We thank you for health and strength. We are grateful for meaningful work. And we praise your name for the love of family and friends. We acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Forgive us for unfaithful stewardship of our relationship and our possessions. Open our eyes to the needs of others, and especially to those without Christ. We offer these gifts out of our abundance to send the gospel to others. May the glory of the Lord fill this house of worship today and send us forth with gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. When we see an apparently strong Christian faith, a spiritual defeat, tend to think, "I would have expected that to happen to anyone but him. Peter's denial. Peter's denial while keeping warm at the enemy's fire creates a similar surprise. Peter was a strong individual, a great leader, and a dynamic Christian. My text for this message is coming from Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 55, where it says, Peter followed at a distance, but when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Amen. And my title for this message this evening is simply Keeping Warm at the Enemy's Fire. Tonight my message is divided into three paragraphs. Amen. First, we're going to talk about Peter, a person of strength. Strength of leadership. Whenever the disciples are listed, Peter's name comes first. Reflecting the disciples' view of his leadership, Peter was one of the inner circle of disciples privileged to share in special experiences with Jesus, such as the Transfiguration. On the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who stood to preach. Amen. Peter's strength of spirit. Peter had no timid spirit. He was a bold spiritual adventurer. Once he tried to walk on water, and later he ran to Jesus' tomb. Peter's strength of body. As a fisherman, Peter had developed his muscles by rowing boats and casting heavy nets. He showed his physical strength in the garden. He was strong enough to take on the entire mob. In spite of all these qualities, Peter denied the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, in the NIV says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Ephesians 6 and 16 in the NIV, no Christian is immune from the flaming arrows of the evil one. Peter, vulnerable to sin. Peter, blind to his weakness. Peter, a typical human, had strength and weaknesses, but he seemed to be blind to his weaknesses. Peter confidently told the Lord, in Luke 22:33, I am ready to go with you to prison and to die. This was a noble expression and a wonderful assurance, apparently uttered in ignorance of his fleshly potential for succumbing to sin's temptation. Victor Hugo wrote, I feel two men struggling within me. The Apostle Paul also had a realistic view of the tension between good and evil that rages in every soul. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I see another law at work in me, raging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Romans 7:19-24 in the NIV. Satan attacks the vulnerable spot. Jesus warned Peter of Satan's impending attack in Luke 22:31 in the NIV, where it says, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. The evil one caught the strong disciples in a vulnerable moment, surrounded by the enemy and separated from other disciples. He will sift us until he finds the most vulnerable place at which to hurdle his temptation. Amen. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6:12 in the NIV. Jesus taught us to pray for deliverance from the evil one in Matthew 6:13. We say with Paul in Romans 7:25 in the NIV, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Peter, the pressure to conform. Peter, the pressure of men. What was the vulnerable spot for Peter? He let himself be guided by those around him. Is this entirely wrong? A healthy concern for what others think is an asset. But Peter went beyond this concern and allowed his action to be modeled by those around him. A dialogue between Jesus and Peter, recorded in Matthew 16, illustrates this peer pressure. Jesus was talking about his coming rejection and death when Peter strongly reacted, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Peter's concept of the Messiah did not include Jesus as the suffering servant. Instead, Peter subscribed to the popular concept of the victorious Messiah conquering the Romans and reestablishing the throne of David. Jesus rebuked him. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God. but merely human concerns. In verse 23 in the NIV, Peter again exhibited a tendency to reflect the prevailing social pressures on a later occasion, which Paul describes in Galatians 2. Before certain men came from James, Peter used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. Peter knew that the Lord was no respecter of person, but he was afraid to resist the pressure of a strong group in the church. Peter was a strong man, but not strong enough to stand against the values of immature Christians, even though they were against God. The pleasure of God. What are we to do in the face of compromise and peer pressure? Paul expresses what is pleasing to God. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Romans 12 and 2 in the NIV. In the mid-1800s, two distinguished statesmen delivered address before a British university, Benjamin Disraeli, said, if you would succeed, know the temper and spirit of the times in which you live and act accordingly. William Gladstone said, do not drift with the age. Have fixed principles and stand by them. At the enemy's campfire, Peter did drift with the age and lived to regret it. Amen. How unbecoming is the worldly ambition of being the greatest in anyone who is a follower of Jesus, who took upon him the form of a servant and humbled himself to the death of the cross. In the way to eternal happiness, we must expect to be assaulted and sifted by Satan. If he cannot destroy, he will try to disgrace or distress us. Nothing more certainly for bodies a fall. In a professed follower of Christ, than self-confidence with disregard to warnings, the contempt of danger. Unless we watch and pray always, we may be drawn in the course of the day into those sins which we were in the morning most resolved against. If believers were left to themselves, they would fall, but they are kept by the power of God and the prayer of Christ. Our Lord gave notice of a very great change of circumstances now approaching. The disciples must not expect that their friends would be kind to them as they have been. Therefore, he that has a purse, let him take it, for he may need it. They must now expect that their enemies would be more fierce than they have been, and they would need weapons, At the time, the apostles understood Christ to mean real weapons, but he spoke only of the weapons of the spiritual warfare. The sword of the Spirit is the sword with which the disciples of Christ must furnish themselves. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. So every description which the evangelist gives of the state of mind in which our Lord entered upon this conflict proves the tremendous nature of the assault and the perfect foreknowledge of its terrors possessed by the meek and lowly Jesus. Here are three things not in the other evangelists. When Christ was in his agony, there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. It was a part of his humiliation that he was thus strengthened by a ministering spirit. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Prayer, thought, never out of season, is in a special manner season when we are in agony. In this agony, his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down. This showed the travail of his soul. We should pray also to be enabled to resist unto the shedding of our blood, striving against sin, if ever called to it. When next you dwell in the imagination that the delights of some favorite sin, think of its effect as you behold them here. See its fearful effects in the Garden of Gethsemane and desire by the help of God deeply to hate and to forsake that enemy, to ransom sinners for whom the Redeemer prayed, agonized, and bleed. Peter's fall was his denying that he knew Christ, or was his disciples downing him because of distress and danger. He that has once told a lie is strongly tempted to persist. The beginning of that sin, like strength, is as the letting forth of water. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. It was a convincing look. Jesus turned and looked upon him as if he should say, "Dost thou not know me, Peter?" It was a chilling look. Let us think with what a rebuking countenance Christ may justly look upon us when we have sinned. It was an expostulating look. Thou who waits the most forward to confess me to be the Son of God, and this solemnly promise thou wouldest never disown me. It was a compassionate look. Peter, how art thou falling and undone if I do not help thee? It was a directing look to go and bethink himself. It was a significant look. It signifies the conveying of grace to Peter's heart to enable him to repent. The grace of God works in and by the word of God, brings that to mind and sets that home upon the conscience, and so gives the soul the happy turn. Christ looked upon the chief priests and made no impression upon them as he did on Peter. It was not the mere look from Christ, but the divine grace with it that restored Peter. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say in my conclusion, in the days following Jesus' resurrection, some of the disciples had breakfast with the Lord beside the Sea of Galilee. John 21. Three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, and then told Peter he would have to suffer for him. Peter pointed to John and asked in John 21:21-22 in the NIV, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. The tension was still present. It was still difficult for Peter to face God's will. The same crucial question that confronted Peter confronts us as well. What will you do with Christ? You cannot pass the decision off to someone else. You must decide. The pressure of others offers convenient options. The warmth of the enemy's fire is appealing. May the Lord hear us say, yes, I know Jesus. He is my Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you, as it is always to me. At the enemy's camp. Keeping warm at the enemy's fire. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time, my brothers and sisters. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the body of Christ. And all you have to do next is to go to church. Go to a good Bible-based church to further your walk in Christian love. Amen? And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you until we meet again on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. Praise God. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening and a blessed and happy weekend. And I just want to say happy Sabbath to everyone who celebrate Sabbath on Saturday and to those who celebrate on Sunday. So God bless you and heaven smile upon you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Good night, everybody. God bless you. We love you and shalom.
to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.